One of the great psalms of the Hebrew Bible is Psalm 23. Many tears have been wiped away in the study and reading of this great psalm. It is small, but it is great in the way that it speaks to our heart. All through time, this psalm has helped millions of people who have read it and pondered its soothing message. I'm going to read the Hebrew and comment on each word in terms of its grammatical and historical Hebrew grammatical meaning. There are actually two movements to the psalm. In verses 1 to 4, we see the work of the divine shepherd. And in verses 5 and 6, we see the work of a royal host, or a host. The beautiful thing about this psalm is that it shows us the way that the Lord cares for His sheep. And I'm reminded as Christians in the New Testament that in John chapter 10, Jesus speaks of Himself, no doubt alluding to this great psalm, as the great shepherd of the sheep. We begin Mizmor le David, which reads a psalm belonging to David. Mizmor is a noun that means psalm or song. The lamed here is probably lamed actoris again, or lamed of authorship. At least that's my personal understanding, that David is the author of this great psalm. David, who was a shepherd, writes about the great shepherd, the Lord. Notice it begins, Adonai ro'i lo echsar. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Notice, ro'i is a cow active participle, masculine singular, from the root ra'ah, a lamed hay verb. The hay has elided or dropped out, and we have the hirik yod, which is a first-person pronoun suffix. And it's very personal here. The Lord is my shepherd, or He shepherds me. He didn't write Adonai ro'enu, the Lord is our shepherd, but the Lord is distinctly my shepherd. And each one of us could say that if we know Jesus, if we know the Lord as our great shepherd, and Jesus as our shepherd of His flock, it's personal. In the New Testament, for example, He knows His own sheep by name. He calls them, we're told in John chapter 10. So I love how personal this is. The Lord shepherds me, lo echsar. I shall not lack. Lo is your negative particle, and the verb here, echsar, is from the root chasar, meaning to lack. Notice it's a cow imperfect, first person singular, from the root chasar. And notice the aleph gives it away as a first person singular form here. So I shall not lack in anything, because the Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me. And each one of us, if we know the Lord, can write that here. He is our shepherd. And then he goes on, verse 2, Benot desha yarbitseni, almei menuchot yenahaleni. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters of resting places. Notice, Benot desha, the bait here is your inseparable preposition with the bait, followed by Naot. Naot means pastures. From the singular, notice the oat puts it into the plural, from the singular, Nava, to pasture. And so in pastures, and it's in construct here with desha, meaning green, like green grass. So the Lord causes me to lie down in green pastures or in pastures of green. And Yarbitseni is rendered, he causes me to lie down. Notice Rabatz is the root, and we have a yod prefix and an A-I vowel pattern, which gives this away as a hifil imperfect third masculine singular from the root Rabatz. And then we have Eini, the helping vowel, the tseri, followed by the pronominal suffix in the E, or Eini, I should say the helping, Ein, followed by the pronominal suffix E. So he causes me to lie down, a causative stem. What a beautiful picture here. The Lord wants his sheep to rest. He causes me to lie down. They've been out in the terrain, and now he brings them to rest. And furthermore, Alme Menachot Yenahaleni, beside waters of resting places, he leads me. Al is your preposition, beside, and me is from the root mayim, the noun mayim meaning waters. And notice the Seder Yod here puts it in a plural construct, a masculine plural construct, with menuchot, that is, with waters of resting places, or by, I should say, waters of resting places. Menucha is the singular, meaning a resting place, and menuchot is your plural in Hebrew with the ot ending, feminine plural. So beside waters of resting places, yenahaleni. Notice yenahaleni is from the root nahal, to lead, and here we have a yod prefix. We have a yod prefix with a shava followed by an A-class vowel. And notice that gives it away as a PL, imperfect, third masculine singular. So beside waters of resting places, yinahaleni, he leads me. From nahal again, and notice the ni, a ni is your pronominal suffix, first person singular. So, what a beautiful picture. The Lord is leading his sheep out in front of them, and he's leading them where they can be beside restful waters or waters of resting places. I'm reminded how the sheep do not respond well if the waters would have been tumultuous or would be tumultuous or let's say, rapid and not quiet. They respond to quietness. And so the Lord is leading them into that kind of an atmosphere. And I'd like to say that's what I believe the Lord wants us to do. He wants to lead us, as we follow him, into resting places. I often tell my students, we live in a society of gerbilism. We're like gerbils. We're going day and night. People have cell phones. We're running here, running there, constantly on the go. And somehow, the Lord wants to have his sheep rest. And so, what a beautiful picture here of the Lord causing the sheep to lie down, causing David to lie down, causing him to be in waters of resting places. And I believe the Lord wants that for each one of us. And as followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus told his disciples, come apart and rest a while. One of the most important things I believe ministers can do is to find times of rest. It's not about how busy we can be constantly, 24/7. We need to find the resting places, to give up the gerbilism of our culture and try to rest in the midst of a hectic lifestyle that so many are called to fulfill. They have to live out. But in the midst of that, there needs to be rest. Notice in verse 3, Nafshi yeshovev, yanheni v'magdeleid tzedek lema anshmo. My soul he restores. Notice Nafshi is from the noun nefesh, meaning soul, and it's in construct with the noun nafsh, with the pronominal suffix e, first person singular pronominal suffix. So my soul, yeshovev, he restores. Notice he restores comes from the root shuv, to restore or to bring back. And what we have here is a middle weak verb that becomes a what we would call a polel. Notice the shiva followed by the long a vowel, the whole of vav, and the tseri in terms of the final vowel. This is a polel stem. It's a polel imperfect third masculine singular from the root shuv. And when we have that type of a structure, we cannot get a PL form, because the middle, it's a biradical root, and the middle of what the middle consonant has become a vowel. And so what happens here historically is that the final consonant doubles, making it intensive like a PL, but because it's a hollow middle weak verb, a polel is used. So he restores my soul. Yanheni v'magdeleid tzedek lema anshmo. Yanheni is from the root nacha. He guides me. He causes me to be guided. Notice again, it's a lamed hey verb, where the hey has dropped out or is elided, and we have a yod prefix and an A yanheni, an A tseri vowel pattern, or an A I slash E vowel pattern, which causes, which makes this a hifil stem. He causes me to be guided. In other words, he guides me. He is the causation of this. And then we have the pronominal suffix in the E and the helping ain, a consonant in the noon here. He guides me in, here we have ve magaleit sedek. Ve is your preposition in, and magale, it's that inseparable preposition again. Magale is a plural construct from magal, meaning a beaten path or a tried path. This is like a path where the shepherd has traversed many times. So it's a tried path. It's a beaten path. And notice it's plural. In the beaten paths of righteousness, tzedek, the noun meaning righteousness, they're right paths. The shepherd knows the way to lead the sheep. So he causes me to be led, or he guides me in the beaten paths of righteousness, lema an shmo, on account of his name. Notice lema'an, we would render on account of the preposition followed by shemo. Shem is the noun meaning name. Shem is in construct with o, the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So he guides me, or he causes me to be guided in the paths, the beaten paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. In other words, God's name is at stake. He is a faithful shepherd. He has shepherded his sheep many, many times. He knows the right path. He leads his sheep in the tried paths, the worn paths, the wagon trail paths, so to speak. And it's a beautiful picture here of a faithful shepherd that we can trust. He's not going to lead us over a cliff. He's going to lead us faithfully, and we can put all of our trust in Him, for His name's at stake. What a beautiful picture. All we need to do is rest in Him as He's out in front of us, leading us properly through life. I'm reminded in the New Testament, in Romans 8, it says, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. And then it goes on to say, for whom He elected, whom He chose, He predestined, whom He called, He predestined. And those that He predestined, He justified. And those that He justified, He glorified. So we can know that He's going to lead us properly as we follow Him in life, if we follow Jesus as our good shepherd and as our guide. And then he goes on in verse 4. Gam ki alek begeit sal mavet lo irara ki ata imadi shiftecha umen shantecha hema yenachamuni. Indeed, though, gam ki, I would translate, indeed, though I walk in the valley of deep darkness, I will not fear evil. Lo irara. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Indeed, gum, when I walk. Notice here we have the conjunction ki, gum, indeed, and then elek. Elek is from the root halak. Notice the hay has dropped out or elided, and so we have a cal imperfect first person singular from halak. Even though I walk begeit sal mavet, in the valley of deep darkness. Be is your inseparable preposition in, followed by the noun gay, meaning valley, and then salmavet means dark, deep darkness or gloominess. Two nouns in construct. Gai becoming gay in construct, and salmavet is the noun that means deep darkness. It can be understood as like this. Sometimes it's translated shadow of death. Its meaning is deep darkness. It's not referring to death necessarily, but to the danger of being in a dark valley. I'm reminded that often the shepherd would take the sheep into a dark valley where the sun was blocked, and the sheep could become skittish and afraid in that dark valley. There could be robbers lurking to kill the sheep and to steal the wool. There could be wild animals wanting to prey on the sheep. But when I'm in that dark valley, whatever that is, in life or in death, the psalmist says, I don't have to fear, for you are with me. That's the key. The Lord is with us. Yahweh is there. If we know Jesus as our Savior, He's with us in the dark valley as believers. In our Lord Jesus. Lo ira ra. I will not fear evil. What a beautiful alliterative phrase here. And by the way, this is the centerpiece of this psalm. Lo ira ra ki ata imadi. When you count all of the consonants, this is the centerpiece of this whole psalm. I will not fear, and notice lo is your negative particle followed by ira. Ira is from the root yara, to fear. It is a cal imperfect first person singular from yara. So I will not fear ra, evil. A noun meaning I will not fear any kind of evil. The beautiful thing here is the alliteration that we have in this phrase, lo ira ra, the literary assonance. It's something we cannot get in English. We could not translate this, I will not fear fear. It wouldn't capture the thought. So, I will not fear evil. Lo ira ra. Why? In that dark valley, whatever that is, people might be walking in the valley of deep darkness, of struggle with finances, struggle with sickness, struggle with anything in life. It's a dark valley. Lo ira ra. Why? Ki ata imadi. For conjunction followed by ata, personal pronoun, second masculine singular, you are imadi, with me. Notice the preposition imad, and then the pronominal suffix, first person singular, in the e. I will not fear evil, lo ira ra, ki ata imadi. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, where we're told that nothing can sever us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor anything can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful reality that we have. And Jesus Christ said, lo, I am with you always, in Matthew 28, even unto the end of the age. I love, again, that text that I quoted about Romans 8, that Paul is writing about the believer security in Jesus Christ, for one who knows him as his shepherd, even in the darkness of life. Notice it says, I am persuaded, in verse 38 of Romans 8, ute thanatos, ute zoe, neither death nor life, ute angeloi, ute archai, nor angels, nor rulers, ute anestota, ute melanta, nor things present, nor things to come, ute dunames, nor powers, ute hupsoma, ute bathos, nor height, nor death, ute tis ketisis hetera, dunesitai hemas, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, hemas korisai apates agapes tutheu, tes in Christo Jesu to kiriu hemon, shall never be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful hope that if we have our faith rooted in Jesus Christ as our shepherd, we can know that nothing will ever be able to separate us from that love of God which is found in Jesus Christ. Even in the dark valleys of life and death, we have victory in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, Shiftacha umin shantecha heme yanachamuni. Your rod, Shiftacha umin shantecha, and your staff, heme yanachamuni, they comfort us. Notice Shiftacha is from the root shevet, the noun meaning rod, and it's in construct, Shiftacha, with ha, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So your rod, umishantecha, from mishenet, it's the noun singular in construct, becoming mishantecha, becoming mishant, and then the echa, notice the helping vowel here, the segol, followed by the cha, pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So your rod and your staff, the staff that guides the shepherd by which he walks, the rod that he carries to beat off any kind of wild animal that would prey on the sheep. And they, ema, notice that the ema, referring back to the rod and your staff, the third person, a personal pronoun, they, yenachameni, Yenachemuni. They comfort me. Notice Yenachemuni is from the root nacham, to comfort. And here we have a shava followed by a pathak, which gives it away as a PL form, and then the kibbutz under the mem, showing that we're looking at a third person or third common plural form here. So we have a PL imperfect, third plural, common plural, from nacham, to comfort, followed by ni, yenachamuni. Notice the nun here is added as a helping consonant, I believe, because of the kibbutz, the vowel that precedes it, followed then by the hiruk yod, the first person pronominal suffix. So your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. What a beautiful text. We can't really capture the alliteration of this in English. Lo irara ki ata imadi. I will not fear evil, for you are with me. That's the key. He is with us. That's why we don't have to fear evil or injury in the darkness, in the gates al mavet, in the dark valley of whatever that dark valley might be. I'm reminded, years ago, we used to have these neighborhood football teams. And we were so skinny in about the sixth grade that if we would turn sideways, you might have a hard time even seeing us. And I remember on this one Saturday, we were playing a team by the name of Mifflin. And we were from the Linden area in Columbus, Ohio. And they had a fella on their team called Big Moose. And when Big Moose would hit you, that was a dark valley. That was almost the end of it all. And I remember that afternoon, we were really being badly hurt in that game. And all of a sudden, our hero rode up on his bicycle. His name was Richard Love. I'll never forget this. Richard Love was almost like you've seen these poses of somebody very thin and then somebody with muscles being the before and the after. He was like the after. And on our play, our next play, we got him in the huddle and we said, Richard, we have a play. And this is the play. We're going to give the ball to you and we're just going to line up our body, our skinny bodies behind you and follow you into the end zone. That was the play. And all afternoon, we give the ball to Richard. Richard takes the ball, goes through the line. Big Moose hits him, bounces off, touchdown, all afternoon. I've often thought how that Jesus, I'm not trying to compare Jesus to our friend Richard, but Jesus has gone through the line for us. He has defeated death. He has defeated sin. He has defeated Satan. And as we line up behind him, we have victory. He's the one that has become our archegon in the book of Hebrews, our pathfinder, who has cut the way through the thicket of death. And so he's the one that we're to line up behind and follow him into that eternal life that he gives us through the great sacrifice upon the cross and then the victory of the empty tomb and the resurrection. So following the first three verses where we have seen the good shepherd, we now move to the royal host, from the imagery of a shepherd to a host. As we read it, notice it says, Ta'arok lefanai shuhan neged zorarai, dishanta vashemen roshi, Kosi Revaya. You arrange a table before me in the presence of my adversaries. You anoint my head with oil. My cup is full and running over. It's a satiated cup. Notice as we look at this great text, Yahweh, you prepare, you arrange before me a table. Ta'arok is from the root arak, to arrange. And notice It's a Cal imperfect third masculine or second masculine singular from Arak, the root Ayin Resh Kaf. Notice here we have an A class vowel under the Tav, under the prefix. The reason for that is the Ayin could not take a simple Shiva, so it takes a composite Shiva, what we call a hurried or a Chatef Pathak, a hurried Pathak. And the Pathak part of that shifts under the Tav. And that's why, unlike, let's say, the root Shamar, Tishmor, it's an A-class vowel, because in Tishmor, the Shin is a consonant that takes a simple Shiva. Where here, the Ayin has to take a composite Shiva, and if I could put it this way, the Ayin, or the Pathak part of this composite Shiva shifts and goes under the top in such a form as this, in what we call a pay laryngeal or a pay guttural form. So you arrange lefanai before me. Lefanai is the preposition meaning before my face, literally, but before me, and e is your pronominal suffix. So lefnei, lefanai, I should say, means simply to my face or before me. Shulchan, a table. Shulchan is the noun that means a table. And I'm thinking we're looking possibly at a Bedouin tent where a table, like a mat, is laid out, and this person is invited into the tent. So you arrange before me a shulchan, a mat or a table, neged sorerai, in the presence of my adversaries. Notice neged is your preposition, meaning over against, or in the presence of my adversaries. And sorerai is from the root sarar, which means adversary or to oppose. Notice it has an O-class vowel, showing that we are looking at a participle, a cal participial form, and then we have I, the pronominal suffix that would be put on a plural participle or a plural noun with the comets followed by the yod. So you arrange before me a mat or a table before my face in the presence of or over against my adversaries. It's interesting. It was the job of a host at this time, to a Bedouin host, to protect someone that would come into his tent. And I believe that's the imagery, and the adversary could only look on from the outside as a party, so to speak, is thrown on the inside of the tent. So you arrange a table before me in the presence of my adversaries. Now he's going to anoint his head with oil and feed him in a royal way. Dishanta vashemen roshi kosi revaya. Notice the beautiful alliteration here where we have the sheen being repeated and the e and all of these sounds. This is what makes this so beautiful from a literary perspective. So, Dishanta Vashemen Roshi. You anoint with oil my head. Kosi Revaya. My cup runs over. Notice Dishanta is from the root Dashan, to anoint, and it is a PL with the I-class vowel here. Followed by the doubling of the middle radical in the sheen. So you anoint, and then we have the ta, the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. You anoint vashemen with oil. Notice the va here is your preposition of accompaniment or with oil. Shemen is the noun that simply means oil. And notice the beautiful, again, alliteration, dishanta and then Shemen Vashemen. So you anoint with oil Roshi, my head. Rosh is the noun meaning head, and E is your pronominal suffix, first common singular. So you anoint with oil my head. A good host in a hot kind of a climate would anoint the head with oil. It's sort of like in our, let's say, a culture, it would be like taking a shower on a hot day. And so the host here invites him into his tent, and he anoints him with the cool oil upon his head, and then he feeds him royally. Kosi revaya. My cup is satiated. It's full and running over. Kos is the noun meaning cup, and E is your pronominal suffix, first person singular. So my cup, revaya, my cup runs over. Notice revaya actually is an adjective meaning satiated. So my cup is like a satiated cup. It's full to the brim. It's running over. One of the things that I often enjoy doing is going to a restaurant where you can eat all you want to eat, and you go back for repeats. The only problem is I tend to overeat, and I commit I shouldn't do that. But you don't go out empty, you go out full. Your cup is satiated. And I've often thought about the Lord as our royal host here. He doesn't feed us in a skimpy way. The cup is full and running over. It's a full cup. I'm reminded years ago when my wife Janet and I were celebrating our wedding anniversary, and we had just eaten at this restaurant, and we were out walking, and we saw this other restaurant. It was very beautiful. It had a fireplace, and everything looked so welcoming. And I said, Janet, honey, let's go in and get a piece of pie. Well, we went in and ordered a piece of pie and a cup of coffee. That we didn't have much money at that time. We still don't, but we didn't have money. And so we could only afford a little piece of pie. And I think the waiter was a little upset with us, because he was hoping to probably get a bigger tip with a bigger meal. And so what he brought back to us was a thin piece of pie that you could hardly see. And we cut it in half, and each of us had a bite. You know, as I thought about that, it was beautiful, the ambience was beautiful, all of that, but it wasn't like the way the shepherd feeds us. So I get excited about this when I think about how the Lord takes care of us, and he feeds us royally, and our cup is a satiated cup. It's full. It's running over. And then he concludes by saying, Ach tov v'chesed yirdofuni kol yemei chayai v'shafti b'beit Adonai l'orik yamin. Surely, or indeed, goodness and loyal love. Notice tov, the noun meaning goodness, and chesed, a very famous word in the Hebrew Bible, meaning covenant loyalty. Indeed, the adverb goodness and covenant loyalty, yirdafuni, will follow me, will chase after me. Notice the root radaf, to follow or to pursue. And here we have the cal imperfect, the third common plural, from the root radaf with the pronominal suffix in the e and the helping consonant in the nun here, following the shuri. So surely goodness and loyal love, covenant loyalty, kindness, will chase after me. Kol yemei chayai, all the days of my life. the totality of the days of my life. Notice, yamei is from is the noun plural with the tser yod from yom, yomayim, or yom, I should say, is the word for day, and in the construct masculine plural it becomes yamei. So it's all the days of, now here we have the noun in construct with that, all the days of my life. Chayai means life, and notice, or chay means life, and notice chayai means my life. Here we have a pronominal suffix put onto a plural noun with the I ending, first common singular pronominal suffix. So all the days of my chayai, my life, God's goodness, he says, is going to be chasing after me. And his loyal love. Instead of the enemies chasing him, it's God's goodness pursuing after him. What a beautiful picture. The Lord is the hound of heaven. He keeps coming after us, behind us, with his goodness, with his loyal love. And then he concludes, V'shafti b'veit Adonai le'orek yamim. So, I will return into the house of the Lord for length of days. This phrase here, v'shafti, we have the vav conjunction, and it depends, the verb here, v'shafti, can come from the root shuv, which means to return. If we take that as the root and the meaning, we would translate it, and I will return. The vav would be a vav hafik or a vav consecutive, turning the root over. You're using a perfect, putting it into a futuristic point of view. I will return, sort of like looking at a repetitious return to the house of the Lord, because I can't find a better place to be fed in this royal way. That's one possibility. If we take the root as shuv, the kal perfect would be shafti, first person singular, which would fit this reading here. It's possible that we could read it this way, v'shifti. If we follow the Masoretic reading, it would be shafti, and I will return. I'll keep going back. If we follow the reading shifti, it would be from the root, a different root, yashav, to dwell, a pay, actually historically pay vav verb, but that became a pay yod verb, where the yod has dropped out, and it would be then shifti, which would put it into a kal infinitive construct form with the pronominal suffix hirik yod, and if we did that, it would be, I will dwell, or my dwelling, and literally, and my dwelling will be. And then it would just be a simple va-ve, a simple conjunction with a different root, yashav. And that's possible. And if that's the case, it's showing an ongoing dwelling in the house of God forever. Or I'm going to keep returning. I'm wondering, since Hebrew did not have vowels, vowels were added later by the Masoretes around 700 A.D. I'm wondering, since it was just a consonantal text with the sheen, the bait, and the tav, and the yod, if perhaps it allows for both ideas in the original without the vowels. In other words, I'm going to keep going back to this house from Shu, and I am going to dwell in this house forever from Yashav, as an infinitive construct, kal infinitive construct. So both ideas are possible in a consonantal text. And I'm wondering if it's sort of not like what my mother used to say to me when I would go to this friend's house. And I would go there every day. I'd keep returning there because his mother baked the best cookies. And I'm a cookie-holic. The best chocolate chip cookies, and I kept going back And my mother said, you know, you keep going back. I think you must live there. So there's sort of a double meaning. And I'm wondering if it could not be a similar idea in the Hebrew consonantal text here. So I'm going to keep going back. Bevet Adonai, to the house of Yahweh, or I will live there forever because of what He has done for me. And notice, be is your preposition, inseparable preposition, following or preceding the noun bayit, which means house. Beit is the noun in construct with yod he vav he, in the house of the Lord, la'orek yamim, for length of days. In other words, le is simply your inseparable preposition for, and orek is meaning length, a noun with yamim, a noun meaning days, two nouns in construct, for length of days, or we could then translate it forever. And yamim, by the way, again is from yom, it's a masculine plural with the im ending, a noun meaning day. So what a beautiful conclusion here. We not only have a good shepherd, but we have a wonderful host who has prepared a table before us, and He feeds us royally. The Lord has prepared a banquet for us. And I think as a Christian, as I look at Jesus, He prepares a banquet for us by what He's accomplished for us. And we are to feast upon Him, spiritually speaking. And someday, there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we will be with Him forever. That's why it's so important that we know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. What a beautiful psalm here that speaks to our heart, that speaks to our soul. Yahweh is the great shepherd, and He is the royal host. And Jesus applies this great psalm to Himself in John chapter 10, where He is the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. And we can know that He knows us all by name if we've named Him as our Lord and as our Savior. And I'm reminded of the book of Revelation, where there is a hymn of Revelation. I love the hymns of Revelation. In verse 14 of chapter 7, it says, I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said, these are they which have come. The elders here are speaking, one of the elders, and then there's the answer being given. They're clothed in white robes. And the answer is, these are they who have come out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And then the hymn breaks out, the hymn of heaven, one of the great hymns of the book of Revelation. There's a number of heavenly hymns in this great book. On account of this, they are before the throne of God. These are the saints that come out of the tribulation of this world someday, I think John is seeing. And they worship Him, a great word in Greek here, latrousin, used of in the Septuagint, of priestly worship. We'll be continuing with priestly worship, the hymn goes, day and night, in His temple, in His dwelling place. And the one who sits upon the throne will shepherd, or will dwell among them. In John here, the one who shepherds, who is sitting upon the throne, is going to tabernacle among them. And this refers, I believe, to our Lord Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. They shall not hunger, nor shall they thirst again. Neither shall the sun fall upon them, nor any heat, because the Lamb, Arnion, the one sitting on the throne, could be God the Father as well here. And then we come to God the Son in the Lamb. Verse 17, because the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, poimane autus, He shall shepherd them, kai chadegese autus epizoes pegas hudaton. He shall shepherd them, and he shall lead them or guide them unto waters of fountains of living water. And I'm reminded of the work of the shepherd, and now the work of Jesus as the final shepherd throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And he shall wipe away, and God shall wipe away. Kai exalepse chata as pan dakruan ekton ophthalmon alton. God shall wipe away every tear out of their eyes. And I'm reminded of this great hymn and its fulfillment in a new heaven and new earth, where there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, where God will wipe away every tear out of their eye. That's why it's so important to know the Good Shepherd. And I, as a Christian, believe that Good Shepherd is Jesus, who has conquered death and has come out on the other side, who is now at the right hand of God the Father, and who is the shepherd that shepherds us through life and then on into the ages of eternity. That is why we need to look to Christ and make him our personal shepherd. And we can know that even though kialek begate salmavit lo irara kiatayimadi, we can know that even though we walk through the valley of deep darkness, whatever that might be, lo ira ra, I will not fear evil, ki ata imadi, for you are with me. And how Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And nothing, Paul says, can sever us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.